Well, hello everyone. It's so great to be here with you today. Oh, it's just like old times, right? The chill in the air, the ice coming down from the sky. It's just wonderful. But actually, really, truly, our hearts are with you. We love you. And it's just, you make us happy. You make us smile. And if you make us smile this much, I can't even imagine what the Lord is feeling right now. So thank you for welcoming us. Thank you for having us. We're praying for you. There's exciting days ahead for you. Wow, you guys, God is good, isn't he? He's so good. So thank you.
It is a joy to be with you guys. For those of you that don't know us, we do have a little bit to do with years ago, the Lord giving us a vision to start a campus here at the time in Laconia. And now it's a standalone Foursquare church that's doing so awesome. You guys, as we were worshiping, the Lord kind of brought me this thought about the fruitfulness that God has in our life. And, you know, sometimes when we think of fruit, we think of pulling an apple from a tree, and boy, that's a nice piece of fruit. It could be actually be a prize fruit, right? You can enter it into the county fair and win a blue ribbon on that piece of fruit. But there's something different about fruit that remains. And fruit that remains means that one apple has become now an orchard, right? And it is producing more. And that's kind of the vision that the Lord showed me for this church, that you guys are a church that is fruit, that is remaining and reproducing. And so we are excited to be with you today celebrating that. And as we get to go over after the second service to the building, I'm also excited about how God is restoring and redeeming and bringing back a dream. And sometimes, you know, it's like Abraham, right? When we have a dream sometimes, we lay it on the altar and we say, Lord, we want your best and we're willing to do whatever. And the Lord then brings it back, but we've got to be willing to let go. And you guys were willing to do that. And we're seeing now the restoration of that. And by the way, I wanted to let you know, Pastor Tim, I know that one of the first steps in working on that facility is getting rid of some stuff that's in there, right? The asbestos. And you have a green light to go ahead with that. You don't have to wait for board approval on that because you guys own the building. So you could begin, once you get the money raised, you can begin to go ahead and do that. So you're able to move ahead with that pretty quickly. And today when we go over there and bless it, we're just excited to be a part of even this next season with you guys. Yeah, it's been like 6 months. We are so honored to be back with you. Also, it's kind of a privilege to kind of be here a couple weeks after Easter, because I don't know about you, how many of you love Easter? It's kind of like the celebration of new life and new things and God doing a work in us. Even the Bible talks about how the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us. That's what I want to talk about today. And, you know, we don't mind the weather. I mean, it was a little icy coming in. But, you know, it could be worse. You could be in black fly season. And we're okay with this. That's coming. Is that really a thing? Okay, you need to talk to your pastors about that. Get them ready. Hey, aren't you guys, wasn't this like a match made in heaven to have Tim and JJ and their family here as your new pastors? They are awesome. They are awesome. And man, anyone willing to leave California to come here, it's got to be the Lord. And praise the Lord. No, seriously, it is so good to be with you guys like a couple weeks after Easter. And I was thinking about how so often we move on from Easter. Because, you know, you get that kind of Easter thrill, and it's kind of like they say Easter is the Super Bowl Sunday of the church. But, you know, afterward, you gotta have the after party. You know, you've got to live in the victory, right? And we get to continue to do that. And the way we do that is through being fully alive by His Spirit. Today, I want to talk to you and kind of bring kind of a just a teaching about the Holy Spirit that will not just be so far out there or something that, you know, many times we kind of treat the Holy Spirit as kind of like the, you know, in the back seat of the Godhead, you know, Father, Son, and yeah, the Holy Spirit somewhere back there. But today I want to talk about the relevance of the Holy Spirit in our everyday life and how He wants to be the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead within us. I find that sometimes we kind of like have a little bit here, a little bit there, partially or maybe seasonally when we talk about the Spirit. But I think that some of us are kind of like we just have these bits and pieces, or we are not fully filled with the Spirit, but just kind of like when we need Him. And I want us to move on from that today. And the whole idea of being a Christian means that we are to live in the fullness of Christ. Do we have His presence leading us and guiding us in every moment and everything? We sang this song about that we are now a child of God. You know, the Bible says that those who are led by the Spirit, they are the sons and the daughters of God. It's one thing for us to say, you know, I believe in Jesus. It's another thing to say, I've received Jesus in my heart, and then to understand what that means. Right? When we say, Lord, I accept you into my heart and into my life, it's not just something up here. It's not just academic. He actually is coming into us. And how does He do that? The Spirit of God enters our life. He fills us, and then He leads us, and He guides us. And if we really want to live a fully alive life, we must understand, embrace, and walk in the Spirit. You know, if you're like me, I love coming into times of worship like this because you could just, truly, you could sense the presence of God. Can't you? You come in and sometimes it's just the atmosphere is all around and you can sense the presence of God. And even in the song that we sang, the song called Fullness, which I didn't tell them to put that in there, but that was a song that I was actually going to request and I forgot to request it and the worship team put it in. And in that song, you're singing about, you know, the fullness of God, the presence of God in this house. And there's a reality to that. But the Bible says that you and I are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so when we sing that song in this house, we could also be saying in this house, in who I am, Lord, we want your presence. Here we are in your presence. Your presence is here with us. And so, you know, as much as we say that we're like Spirit-led, Spirit-filled people that believe in the Holy Spirit, how many of you kind of tend to make decisions on your own? Right? How many of you tend to kind of take matters into your own hands? You know, sometimes stress can drive us to God. Sometimes stress is like, I'm going to take care of that. I'm going to do it myself. Take matters into our own hands and figure out the solution on our own. Respond in a way that when we look back on it, we say, that wasn't really Spirit-led. That was me-led. That was the way I wanted to do it. I want to tell you a little story about one time when I did that, and then how the Holy Spirit, because one of the things the Spirit does is he gives you the grace and convicts you and brings you the right way. Well, it's kind of a funny story. Probably about a couple of years before we moved out of New Hampshire, or about a year before, actually, we lived in Pembroke, and our boys were out by then, but our daughter was home, and we had a little dog named Tucker. And Tucker was just the cutest little dog, but he was getting really, really old. And when you get old, you know, you can't hear, you can't see, you make a mess. And every time for the last couple of times we brought him to the vet would say, you know, it's not going to be long now. You know, just getting you ready. Tucker's not going to be making it much longer. And, you know, we could tell, but we loved Tucker. And, you know, he sometimes the garage door would open and he would be barking at the other end of the house because he didn't know who was coming in where. But he was just fun. But we knew he was getting to that point. Well, I got a letter in the mail that it was time to get Tucker his dog license. And, you know, in our small towns here in New Hampshire, we have to have our dogs registered. And so I got that letter, and I forgot about it because I thought, you know, I'll take care of it later. Well, so I went to the town hall because I had to pay my registration for my vehicle. And the town manager, who's a friend of mine, our kids played soccer together and whatever, and Jim was there and said, hey, Peter, I noticed that you haven't paid your dog license for Tucker yet. And at that moment, I thought about all that the vet was saying, and I thought about kind of, this is $35. And I said to Jim, well, Tucker's not with us anymore. And Jim looked at me and he said, oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. And I said, yeah. And at that moment, I knew that, you know, it was like the Holy Spirit just, I mean, it's a little thing, right? It's like a $35 thing, right? But it wasn't really about that. And I was like, oh, and I laughed and I just felt so convicted. I told Lisa, I told my kids. My kids were like on the floor dying laughing over the deal. You did that, you know, they were just like, how am I going to, and I just felt like I needed to make it right. So now you're humbling yourself, right? So I go back into the town hall a couple of days later. I said, Jim, I've got to tell you something. You know when you were asking about our dog? Well, he still is with us, but he's not going to be with us much longer, is what the vet says. And he said, oh, Peter, that's fine. You know, don't worry about it. And he, like, gave me this grace, and I didn't even have to pay, and it really wasn't much longer before we did have to say goodbye to little Tucker. But I thought, you know, that's a perfect example of how in the little things the Holy Spirit may lead us and show us and speak to us, and yet we do it our way. And yet he's so gracious to bring it back around with us. And so today, on a couple of Sundays after Easter, I want to talk to us about how through the resurrection, Jesus sent the presence of God to be with each one of us at every moment and for every situation. Think about that. Every moment, every situation. That means in the times when we have conflict with others, in the times we have to make a little decision or a huge decision, in those times where he is kind of leading us on, we come to a crossroads and a decision, do we go this way or that way, or in our raising our families, or in our work situations when maybe there's an irritation in every situation, or maybe a big decision you're praying about, that in every situation, Jesus lives so that we could be fully alive by his Spirit in us. Jesus lives. The resurrection, he's alive, right? God's not dead. He is alive so that his Spirit can be fully alive in us. I want to look at a couple of scriptures with you. The first one is found in Acts chapter 1. Now, this is after the resurrection. So Jesus has risen from the dead, and he is appearing to his disciples at this moment. And listen to what he says in Acts 1, verses 4 and 5. And while he was staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So, see how Jesus describes the Spirit? This is the promise from the Father. The promise of the Father. Wait here. Don't leave. It's going to be something different. You receive the baptism of John, of repentance, but there's this double portion, this kind of overflowing that's going to happen in your life. The Holy Spirit will come in a few days. So this is now after the resurrection. But let's go back and look at John 16, because this is before now Jesus even goes to the cross, and he's speaking to his followers again, and he's getting them ready for the fact that he's going to be leaving, and he's going to go to the cross, and he's going to suffer immensely for each one of us, for our sins. He's going to give his life, but he speaks this to them, and this is got to be a painful time for those who are walking with Jesus and serving him and partnering with him, his disciples. John 16, we're going to look at two verses. In verse 7, he says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper
will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. And then let's skip to verse 13. It says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. Do you hear what Jesus is saying? Now, this is, again, he hasn't gone to the cross yet. We see what he says afterward, but now he's getting ready to go. And he says, it's actually to your advantage that I go. And that doesn't make sense. It's good that you're going. How is it good? Now, I would think, no, it is bad. This is bad. We do not want you to have to go through this. We do not want you to leave us. And Jesus is saying, it's good because unless I go, you won't know the fullness of the Spirit. I will send the Spirit. He's going to guide you into all truth, and he's going to tell you what is to come. Now, if you read later on in Acts 2, you'll see the picture of the Holy Spirit coming. And the way it's described is that when the Spirit comes in this way, after the resurrection, it appears like there is a flame of fire above each individual person. Now, why is that important to know? Because throughout the Bible, God's presence always showed up in fire. Do you remember when the children of Israel were traveling through the desert? It says that in the daytime, they were led by a cloud, but in the nighttime, they were led by a fire. Do you remember when Moses first has this vision from God? It is in a burning bush. The presence of God is there. In another example, when the prophet Elijah is being taunted by these false prophets of these false gods, you know what he says? Let the true God answer by fire. And God comes and consumes by fire this altar. But every time up until this point, when God's presence shows up, it's in one location at one time, and usually in a large kind of flame of fire. But for the first time now, the Holy Spirit is coming in a different way. The presence of God is coming individually upon each one who calls on the name of the Lord. Why is that? Because Jesus said that it's good for me to go. Because right now, in my physical, the way that Jesus emptied himself and became a man, he can only be in one place at one time. If he wanted to go from Jerusalem to Samaria, he would have to travel to get there. But now he's saying, my presence will go with you everywhere. I will be with you always, he says. And it's not just that one day in heaven, but it's the here, and we sang about it, here and now he works in us. This is why it was good for Jesus to go. This is part of the reason that he went to the cross and that he was resurrected, because he goes to the Father, and from heaven he sends us the Holy Spirit, not as a pillar of fire, but as flames of fire to be on the inside of each one of us. Jesus rises from the dead so that God's presence is with us always. He lives today so that you and I could be fully alive by his Spirit in us. Now, who is the Holy Spirit? Some people think of the Spirit and they think about like this wispy kind of, thing out there. You know, or some will look at it as a metaphysical force that can never be understood, or maybe a state of consciousness that you get into, an altered state. But here's who the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. He is the person of God who was in the beginning. When God said over the expanse and created the world, he said, let us create man, create in our image. He is the one who is with us always, even to the end of the earth. So why is it important that Jesus went away? Because when Jesus emptied himself, took on humanity, and then gave himself for us, and now he's seated at the right hand of the Father, the Spirit of truth. The Bible says that, we read this here, he said that he will guide you into all the truth. So now that's some theology about the Holy Spirit. And some of you saying, wow, you know, that's good. You know, I kind of get it now. But what we tend to get it up here, but God wants us to get it inside of us. We are the only people, Christians, the only people that have the power of God living and working inside of us. The only people that have that intimate relationship with God, because even when we don't know how to pray, the Bible says His Spirit will pray within us. And He leads us into all truth. Jesus lives so we can be fully alive by His Spirit in us. Now, a lot of people in our culture believe God is like out there, right? He's just like way out there. He's the man upstairs. You ever hear some? The man upstairs, the big guy, you know. He's out there. You know, God is watching us. He's watching us. Like, you know, He's not involved, but He's watching us. And if there should be happen to be something major, well, maybe He'll get involved. He's watching us. It reminds me of the story of that burglar who he broke into this house and, you know, he was sneaking around in there and he went through the drawers because he was looking for this special, like whatever expensive jewelry was there. And as he's in there and it's, you know, really dark, he hears this voice and it says this, "Jesus is watching you." And he's like, "What in the world?" And he didn't pay attention. He keeps going. He hears it again. "Jesus is watching you." And he thinks, that must be like an old voice from my Sunday school days or something, you know? And he just keeps going. And again, "Jesus is watching you." So he takes his flashlight and he shines it up. And there's this parrot sitting there. And it says, "Jesus is watching you." And he looks at that parrot and he says, "What's your name?" He says, parrot says, "My name is Moses." And he says, "What kind of crazy owners would name their parrot Moses?" And the parrot says, "The same ones that named their pit bull Jesus, and he's watching you." But that's how a lot of people think about, you know, like he's watching you somewhere, right? But the truth is that he doesn't want to just be watching you. He desires to be in you, his presence working. What does that look like? Well, I want to take you through a couple of things that I think are now practical. How do I not just understand this, but how do I practice the presence of God that's in me? Being fully alive in the Spirit means, number one, God can speak to you personally. He can speak to you personally. I was reading recently in the Old Testament in 1 and 2 Samuel, and when Samuel was a little boy, he heard the voice of God speaking to him. He didn't know what it was. And so sometimes God's voice will speak and we don't understand it. But you know what the Bible says? That the sheep know the voice of their shepherd. That we know. Like when I went in there, you know, and it's like, yeah, you know, Tucker's not with us anymore. I heard the Spirit saying, "Yes, he is with you." It didn't take the Holy Spirit to tell me that, but I'm glad He reminded me and got it right for me. Right? He can speak to you clearly and directly because He wants to. I love that about God. He doesn't want to, like, be silent and hidden. He wants you to hear Him, but we've got to be paying attention. We've got to be tuned in, and we're very distracted, aren't we? We've got so much going on with so many voices, so many text messages, so many notifications on our mobile device, so many things that we have to think about to do, lists and all of that, and often we're just not listening. We're just not tuned in. And I love the fact that, you know, we like to talk a lot, but God, in our physiology, in our makeup, He showed us how important it is to listen. Because He gave us two ears and only one mouth. So we should at least listen as twice as much as we talk. And to listen to the voice of the Spirit. To place ourselves in a position to hear God's voice. To notice Him. You know, the more you listen to Him, the more you notice Him. Because you recognize His voice. So when we moved out to Maryland a couple of years ago, I had a small little Mazda 3. My brother, He works at a Mazda dealership. We got the Mazda from him. But when I went up to Maryland, I've been doing a lot more driving to churches and stuff. So I said, I'm going to get a bigger car, more comfortable car. And so I went to the used car lots, and I found this Grand Cherokee, this black Jeep Grand Cherokee. And I thought, this is nice. It's comfortable. It's got low miles. It's a good deal. They'll take my car in on a trade. And so I planned for it, bought that vehicle, and I was so excited about owning that. And by the way, I thought, man, I should have had that when I was in New Hampshire, but I got it now. And I'm driving out, and all of a sudden I realize everyone in the world has a black Grand Cherokee. I mean, that guy in the neighborhood, he's got that same car I'm driving. They've got that. I thought I would be like the only one. But what happens is you become more aware when you have something. And it's actually, it's called there's this part of the brain called the reticular activator. And what happens is when you care about something, there's this part of who you are that makes you more aware of what you care about. And it's the same thing with how the Spirit works. When you care about the voice of God in your life and you're listening, he becomes more clear. And he speaks to you personally. An ancient teacher by the name of Brother Lawrence, he called this whole idea practicing the presence of God. And what he says in his writings, he said, whether I'm peeling potatoes, or I'm out at the monastery, or I'm doing business in town, wherever I am, whatever the situation is, I can practice his presence. That doesn't mean you walk around with your eyes closed and pay no attention. No, but the presence of God is active and working, and he is speaking to you always. Being fully alive means that we can hear his voice personally. But also, being fully alive in the Spirit means another thing. It means that there is comfort and there is counsel for us always. We can always in fact, the Bible says the Holy Spirit is called, one of his names is he is the counselor, that he is the comforter, he is the advocate, he goes before us. He gives us comfort, and I love the fact that the Bible says that the kind of comfort he gives is the comfort that the world can't give. That in whatever situation we are in, he will lead us, he will guide us. About a month and a half, 2 months ago now, I was out in Africa. Had an opportunity. I was invited by one of the area missionaries of our Foursquare denomination to go out and to see the work that God was doing in two countries, in Niger, Africa, and then in Congo. And so I went to Congo for the second part of the trip, and had a great time, ministered to a bunch of pastors, just got to see the incredible work God is doing in a nation that, you know, is far from us and we don't think anything about, and what a blessing it was. And it came time for me to get ready to go, and now they only have one flight out a day of the airport there in Congo to get back to where I was going through to D.C., and so looking at my watch, we made plans. The pastor was going to be picking me up 45 minutes earlier than I needed to, because I kind of know a little bit about sometimes when you're in nations like Africa and some other third world nations, they don't look at time the same way we do. In fact, they have a saying there. It's called TIA, This is Africa. And in fact, one of the guys said to me, you Americans have watches. We have time, a lot of time. And so we plan to go early, and so I'm waiting, and the 45 minutes passes, and he's not there. But he does get there a little bit later, and we're fine, get in the car, but he needed to stop and get some gas. So we're getting gas, and as we're getting gas, he realizes that he has a flat tire on the car. So now I'm thinking, all right, I'm glad I gave ourselves a little bit of leeway, and this will be fine, and he said, by the way, I'm not the one taking you to the airport. We're going to be dropping you over by the church, and there's someone meeting you there. And I said, okay, that's good. So we get to the church, and the guy is there, but he says, I don't know where the car is that I'm supposed to be taking you. So, you know, and all this while, seriously, I'm like, okay, I'm going to practice the presence of the Lord during this time. This is going to work out. This is going to be fine. And the area missionary that was there, I kind of gave him a look and like, am I going to make it? And I don't know what's going to happen here. And so they said, that's okay. We're going to find, we know where there's a car. And so we're going to drive. And they drove through these back streets, through these little villages. And they couldn't find the guy that was supposed to meet me with his other car. So finally they said, we're just going to go to the taxi stand. And there's this lot where all these cars are hired out. I get in a vehicle, start to go. And probably about 15 minutes into the ride, I hit like, We hit the worst traffic I've ever seen in my life. Like worse than Boston, worse than LA, worse than DC. It's the kind of traffic because it's this two-way highway with no lanes. I mean, like no lines in the lane. So everyone is merging and people are running across the street and these two buses are cramming us in and like we're in this little car and then we get hit from behind on top of that. So I'm like, now I'm not only practicing the presence, but I'm practicing the text. And I'm texting Lisa and saying, pray, because I need to have the kind of comfort that comes with knowing that God is in control here. Well, it turns out we got to the airport like just in the nick of time. I made the flight. But, you know, these are the kind of things, it may be a little thing, a little difficult time. It could be something major. It could be a sickness that you're dealing with, or a family member that has passed, or just some major decision that you're facing. The comfort of the Holy Spirit comes to us in all those ways. In difficult times, in emergencies, when you need to be led, He is with you now. He wants to give you the kind of wisdom you need in every situation. He wants to give you the leading of the Holy Spirit, because whoever is led by the Spirit of God, they are His sons and daughters. And if you think about that, if you are His son and daughter, don't you want to bless your children? Don't you want to give them the very best? And sometimes the very best and the way that He leads us is in ways that He says, no, don't go there. Don't do that. Oh, but Lord, I really want to do that. You know, I think that's best. And He says, no, I kind of know the end from the beginning. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. That's not the best for you. Don't we say that to our kids sometimes too? You know, so, oh, I've been there. I've done that. You don't want to do that. No, you don't know. You know, it'll be different for us. That's what we say to the Lord too. No, He wants to be with us in every situation. The counselor, the advocate, the Greek word for that expression, counselor, is the one who is called alongside to help. Think about that. The Holy Spirit in you, He is alongside you to help you. Thirdly, being fully alive in the Spirit means that we can be led by Him and have peace. Oh, man. Don't you need peace sometimes, like when the storms are coming, when uncertainty is there? You need the peace of God. And I love the way Scripture says it. One of my favorite passages is found in Philippians 4. It says, don't be anxious about anything, but by prayer, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will rule or lead your heart and your mind. What kind of peace? The peace of God. Not that anyone else gets you. Sometimes you can get peace, you know, on your own. The situation works out. You work it out and, you know, or just wait long enough. But no, this kind of peace goes beyond what we can understand. It's when we're faced with decisions, we can say, Lord, do I have your peace in this decision about what I'm going to do? One of the biggest decisions in my life was when Lisa and I were dating. All right, so she was, I was a youth pastor in Massachusetts at the time, and we were starting to date, and she came out and roomed with a girl in the church, and we started to get to know each other more. And let me tell you, like from day one, I knew that Lisa and I were meant for each other. I knew it because she was everything I was looking for in so many ways. She was beautiful, she was vivacious, she was she would do great in ministry, and I was already in ministry. She had a great family. I mean, I knew it, but we still wanted to have God's peace.
And by the way, she probably needed it a lot more than I did, the peace of God, the past understanding, because of my background and where I was from. But we wanted to know, Lord, what is your will for us? And in order to do that, we had to submit that and say, Lord, we want to be led by peace. Another way you can be led is by no peace, right? If you don't have peace about something, you don't go there. So that's how he leads us. It's the Holy Spirit that enables us to say, God, not what I want, but what you want. Whoever is led by the Spirit of God. The Spirit is not going to lead us into destruction or failure. If we ask for bread, the Bible says he's not going to give us a stone. He wants the best even more than we can imagine. He's like a father to a son or a daughter. And sometimes, again, it's the lack of peace. It's these checks he puts in us. Mm-mm, don't do that. Don't go there. We feel almost like, man, I would be defiling what God wants for my life. I wouldn't be obeying him. Now, if you're here today, some of us have understood and even embraced the presence of God in your life. And some of you have never kind of gotten to that point. It reminds me of a passage found later on in the book of Acts. In Acts 19, there was this group of followers of Jesus, and Paul comes along to this community of Ephesus, and he says to them, hey, have you guys received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And you know what their answer is? No, we haven't even heard about the Holy Spirit. I think this is really good because Paul doesn't condemn them. He doesn't say, you guys are missing it. He asks him, so you were baptized, right? Yeah, we were baptized. We repented. We know who Jesus is, but we haven't understood or heard about the Holy Spirit. And for them, and for maybe some of us, the Holy Spirit can be just like this concept, not active in your life. Haven't welcomed him, haven't sought him out, haven't tried to live a life where you're walking and being led by the Holy Spirit in his presence. But can you imagine the life that you and I get to live post-resurrection? It's good for me to go. But Jesus, you're here with us. Can't you just stay? No, it's good for me to go, because if I go, you get to live with the fullness of God in your life. And you get to develop that kind of relationship and walking with the presence of God, empowered by his Spirit. Because when we do that, the decisions that we make become the best decisions. When we do that, our ability to hear God's voice, when you're reading the Word, it becomes alive because his Spirit speaks to you through it. And we have a peace that passes understanding. We have greater comfort, greater counsel. We have all of those things. But many times we say, I'm not interested in the Holy Spirit because he's kind of like, what's he going to do? Well, what he does is, you know, there's a saying out there that the Holy Spirit is a perfect gentleman. That means he doesn't go where he's not invited. But when you do invite him, oh, he's so willing to go there with you. He's so willing to be in your life. You may be here today and perhaps the thing that you understood was, yeah, I accepted Jesus into my heart. And it's kind of like, I guess a good analogy, it's almost like a pilot light that has gone on in you. You know, it's there, but you can't cook on a pilot light, right? It's lit, it's there, but you've got to get there and turn it up and let the flame get a little bit hotter and a little bit brighter. So it does its work. And it's the same way for some of us. And by the way, sometimes we can have full flame and then we go back to pilot light. And that may be some of us here today too. And so I want to invite us on this 2 weeks after the resurrection to be reminded that Jesus went to sit by the right hand of the Father and said, and now wait, because I am sending my presence to dwell in you, to lead you into all truth, to give you my Spirit, my presence all the time, not just on Sunday. I mean, we love coming in on Sundays, but guess what? You don't leave here and say, you know, see you next week, Holy Spirit. No, he's walking with us outside of this place. Would you just bow your heads right now? We're going to pray together, and I'm going to do something perhaps a little bit different for you, and it has to do with an asking. The Bible says that anyone who asks for the Holy Spirit, that God gives that to them, just like a father gives good gifts to his children. And I'm going to ask you to do something. If you either never have or maybe you need, again, to turn that flame up in your life again, that you would, by an act of asking, extend your hands to the Lord in an open fashion with your palms extended to heaven. And right where you are, just to ask and say, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Fill me. Thank you, Lord, for your resurrection. Because it's you live so that the Spirit can live in me. I invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and to speak to me. I invite you, Holy Spirit, to fill me so that I will have your counsel and your comfort. Holy Spirit, I want to practice your presence and be led and have your peace. Holy Spirit, come. And even as you do that, I just pray over you and speak this word and say, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive him. For just like the day you invited Jesus in your life, if you've done that, or today maybe that's your first time and you're saying, Jesus, come into my life, and his Spirit is coming. Because he immediately responds. He doesn't hold back. So as you asked, the Spirit has come into you again, afresh, anew, into a greater way, into another level. The pilot light, the flame has been turned up so that you could know who God is and how he is working and leading you personally. Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. And Lord, all of us thank you. We are grateful for your leading, for your guidance. We are thankful for your voice that speaks to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I want to close just with another thought. We have prayer teams here, by the way. If you need prayer for something, our prayer teams are available. Maybe you need kind of to ask them to stand with you and pray. Maybe at one point you felt like you were being led, but now it's like it's kind of waned. You need more prayer. Prayer teams are here for this. But I want to encourage you in this last thing, because as great as all those benefits are to have the Spirit, there's one thing we didn't talk about yet, and that is the Bible says that when the Spirit comes upon us, we will be his witnesses, that we will be those that others look upon and say, they've been with Jesus. In fact, I could tell there's something different about them right now. There's something in them that I desire. Because again, we are the only people that have God living within us by his Spirit, so that we will be witnesses of his goodness, of his grace, of his voice, of his comfort. So guess what's going to happen now? I don't know about you, but lately I've been a little disgusted with Facebook again, right? Because I see people who are like, I'm a follower of Jesus, and I'm going to put this thing on Facebook, and I'm thinking, man, that's not like what... I can't imagine Jesus writing that. We are supposed to be the ones behaving differently. We're the ones that are supposed to extend grace, are supposed to speak life over people. We're the ones that are supposed to be attractive, right, to the world so that they could see. And yet so often, do you know that when you're on Facebook, when you're with people, when you're at work, when you're at school, when you're at home, whatever, the Spirit of God is there. And he's going to lead us in ways
that we will be witnesses for him. And so I want to charge you with that as you leave today, to be full of the Spirit as a witness for him as well. Amen. Pastor Tim, would you come? God bless you.
Amen. Thank you. Why don't you stay here with me? That was a good word today. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want to be fully alive in the Spirit. I believe we're together. Amen. We want to be fully alive in the Spirit. Pastor, thank you for that good word. Church, would you stand with me this morning? And as Pastor Peter announced a few moments ago, you may need prayer today. You may like someone to pray with you. We've got members from our prayer team here up front, also standing in the back. Maybe you asked Jesus to come into your life today. Maybe you asked the Holy Spirit to come and fill you afresh. Maybe you're here and you have a need for physical healing. Maybe there's something going on in your family. We want to stand and agree with you in prayer because the Lord wants to intervene in your life because he loves us just that much. Amen. Well, before we have the closing benediction, I just want to invite you again. After second service, we'll be going over to Pleasant Street. So if you'd like to meet us over there, those of you guys who are here for first service, you want to come back, we'd love to have you come pray with us. We're going to continue to thank the Lord for doing everything that he's doing as we make plans to stretch our legs and expand our stakes, and I get kind of hungry. Yeah. As we get ready to expand into where the place that God has us to be. Well, would you stretch your hands this way and receive this blessing today? Now, Lord, we thank you that as we have gathered here in this place, Lord, you have charged us to be fully alive in the Spirit. Lord, we have heard a positive, encouraging word that is spurring us on to be fully alive in the Spirit. Lord, I declare that over my brothers and my sisters today. Lord, as we go from this place, we leave fully alive, fully energized, fully led by your Spirit, so that you are the one that people see when they see us. Lord, I declare over my friends today, I thank you that your word says that we are the head and not the tail, that we are above and not beneath, that we are blessed and not cursed, and whatever we set our hands to will prosper in Jesus' name. And if you agree with that, would you say amen today? Amen. Amen. God bless you, everybody. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you next time. We'll see you over at Pleasant Street later on.